I joined 20 competition. I won 19 of it. That was 2022. So I achieved a winning rate of 95%.
Right.
So I always told myself, focus on the now. Don't think of other things. So that's one of the psychological skill training that we apply. We associate ourselves into that moment. We go into the zone. Prime my mind when I come to the race. This is my home ground, I call it, because I've climbed this 1,000 times, more than any participants. Find your way out, fight your way out. When I started this, nobody taught me anything. I have to ask people, I have to interview the world number one at that time. How do you train? Wow. So he shared with me. Then he knew that I'm not a threat to him.
Right.
But 3 years later, I'm now a threat to him. Right. So I beat him. I would encourage more and more people to not just be like me, but to beat me. Because right now, I want someone who can challenge us. I have to be the bad guy. Come and challenge me. It's not about I'm afraid of losing,
right.
But I'm afraid that you not try.
Becoming world number one in Tower Run. Today, my guest will be sharing his journey with you all. Before we begin, I'm in a mission to reduce 1% obesity in Malaysia, and you can help me by liking and also sharing this content with all your friends. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 46, guys. In 2023, he won gold in 31 competition out of 36 he participated in and won world record. Amazing. Please welcome Wai Ching, aka Master Tower Runner.
It's actually Malaysia Tower Runner, and we asked them for Malaysia. So many people thought that it's actually Master Tower Runner.
Exactly.
But it's actually Malaysia, because you know Instagram, there's a limit on the alphabet.
I see.
Cannot put so long. So must stand for Malaysia Tower Runner.
Okay, now we all know.
Yeah.
Now we all know. Thank you.
That's a clarification.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so my first question to you. Please share how you first begin your journey as
a Tower Runner.
Tower Runner.
I first started, to be honest, back in 2013.
Okay.
When I went and joined the KL Tower just to challenge myself.
Mm.
At that point of time, I'm just a runner.
Okay.
So I always wanted to try new things.
Mm.
So after the KL Tower Thon in 2013, I was like, it's not my thing. So I went back to running, then continue the run. Only when it comes to 2017, my friend Jeffrey Ross challenged me to do Tower Thon in 2017.
Mm.
So I said, why not? Let's give it a try after 4 years.
Okay.
And that's how I started it.
So he persuaded you to run ke, atau he challenged you ke?
Actually, it was a challenge. So he challenged me to do this Tower Thon. He's actually the 2016 veteran champion for the KL Tower Thon. So he is confident at that point of time, wanted to beat me. As previously, I beat him on every 10 kilometer run.
Mm.
So he always wanted to beat me. So then he thought Tower Run could be the chance for him.
Okay.
So I said, let's do this. I accepted his challenge with just a month of preparation. And at that time, I'm a sports science graduate in UM. So I studied sports science.
Mm.
That is my second year into sports science. So I apply what I have learned into the sport, and I beat him eventually. So he has to wear a pink color skirt for the next run. That will be on Standard Chartered 2017.
I see.
You guys can go and look it up. He wearing a pink tutu to run a 21 kilometer.
Okay, I nak pause kat sini kejap. Actually, kan, even first I contacted him, the first thing he kata, come participate.
Yeah.
Kan, the first thing tau, dia macam, I think that's how you invite people,
yes.
Kan.
Yes.
But maybe for some people, like, you think you're so good, is it?
To be honest, it's actually I actually wanted you to try it out.
Understand.
So then during the interview, you have better understanding about the sport, and then you can describe more based on how you feel.
Right.
Yeah.
Clearly understand that part.
Yeah.
That's why my first reaction was, I'm not fit enough to do long distance, not even 10K also.
Yeah.
Okay. So we understand how you first started in Tower Running.
Yes.
As a competitive athlete, when you actually first started macam participate in this competition, any competition?
I would say I first started taking part in all this running event, long distance running event, back in 2012.
Okay.
So I followed my sister. My sister brought me into the running sport.
Mm-hmm.
So when I joined the Larian Bersama Bomba, kidney run, diabetes run, a lots of race, even Standard Chartered KL Marathon as well.
Mm.
So those days, I joined many, many road running races.
Okay.
So, and even before that, I'm a chess player. So, I'm competitive by nature. I love to challenge others, at the same time, challenge myself to keep improving.
Right. Okay. This is a question I belum tanya tadi. Were you being forced to be competitive, or because you say 6 years old?
Yeah, 6 years old.
Okay. I nak kongsi my cerita sikit again. For me, I played bowling before for my school.
Okay.
But my father forced me. If you play bowling, you have to win.
Oh, okay.
That's me lah.
Yeah.
So your case, like, how come?
For me, I would like to say I'm quite blessed. Nobody forced me. But I enjoy to be a competitive person.
Nice.
Always seek for improvement. Nice. Always wanted to explore how far I can go, what is my limit, and how to break the limit. That's make it more interesting. So I kind of enjoy doing that. That keeps me going.
Okay, so now we understand why until today you're competitive, because by nature. Lah.
Yeah, by nature.
By nature. Okay. Then when do you actually realize that tower running
is my thing?
Yeah.
I would say back in those days, 2017,
okay,
when I accepted the challenge by my friend Jeffrey Ross, and I did pretty well at the KL Towerthon 2017. I came out as the best Malaysian.
Wow.
Even though I got second overall, I lost to an African runner, a Kenyan runner.
Mm.
So then I told myself, hey, I do have a good chance to improve.
Right.
With just only a month of training
right.
in 2017, I managed to came out on top position as the second best overall.
Right.
So then I told myself, why not to venture it full time? Give myself like 3 years time to explore, to train even harder, to see how far I can go.
Okay, this is a question general people maybe don't understand.
Yeah.
Why do you set yourself 3 years? Why not like I give myself 6 months, see what happened?
Okay, 3 years wise, because at that point of time, I'm second year into sports science.
Yeah.
So then my course is about 3.5 years plus internship and all that stuff. So then it's a good time frame for me to train to improve. So I set a 3 years time. It's just right after I graduate from sports science. And I'm not rushed into getting a job. So why not put in one more year effort as a full-time athlete, not just a student athlete, to see how far I can go. So that's where I wanted to test my limits. Like within these 3 years, whether it's do it or scrap it, let's go and go back to do other stuff maybe. I don't know. So I just set a 3 years timeline.
Okay. So within that 3 years, you prepared everything and you achieved many things.
Yes.
Okay. And can I say like last year was your best achievement?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Even though 2 years before 2021, where the world back to normal, I joined 20 competition. I won 19 of it.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. That was 2022.
Okay.
So I achieved a winning rate of 95% out of 20 competitions. And only when I got first place, that's declared a win.
Right.
If it's a second place, I will declare it as a lose. So that's how I count my winning rates. But last year, out of 36, I won 31. And the other 5, I got second place. So that is 86.11% winning rate. Right. Of course, it's still highest or the highest among all the athletes in Malaysia, if I can put it as a comparison.
Right, right.
So I would say last year was quite good because I wanted to maximize my potential, maximize my effort to see how many competitions I can actually took part in a year.
Okay.
Without compromise my performance.
How do you manage that? Like just how we discussed before, record, right?
Yeah.
The time management as well. How do you manage recovery time for your body at the same time you're training intensely and participate in competition?
To be honest, most of the time, I train a lot. For example, my competition required me to run up 50 floor. But every day I climb up to 400 floor. So I'm doing 8 times the volume of my competition.
Right.
Even though if I'm going to do a back-to-back competition, Saturday 50 floor, Sunday 100 floor, it won't affect me much because I've trained my body to be able to cope with it. With the effort that I'm going to put in for the competition.
Right.
I train 400 floor every day. That's equivalent to 1,200 meter climb in one day. If you if you add it up into a week, that is 8,004. It's okay. Almost the height of Mount Everest.
Wow.
By stairs.
Okay.
Yeah, so we climb up, we take the lift down. So that's how we train. So I would say training play a very big part. Second part will be psychological skill training.
Okay.
So I love to apply sport psychology that I've learned from UM into my sport to be able to train at the highest level and compete at the same time.
Okay, please define that psychology part.
Okay, psychology part, okay, there are many ways to trick yourself into it. So for me, I like to associate myself into the now, like into that moment. So whenever I took part in the competition, during the stairs, during the climb, I'll focus on the step ahead of me. So I don't think of the race on the next day. So people always love to reserve their energy. Okay, they know that the race next day will be more important. So the Saturday race might, it's not that important compared to Sunday. So they'll just go on reserve. They know they wanted to win the Sunday. So Saturday they tend to reserve. So for me, Saturday I will really whack in very hard effort. I mean, all out effort. And Sunday I will do the same.
Right.
So I always told myself, focus on the now, don't think of other things and count the steps.
Okay.
So that's one of the psychological skill training that we apply. We apply, we associate ourselves into that moment, we go into the zone. Okay. Rather than you dissociate yourself, you think about what are the things you're going to do later on. Like, oh, I'm going to enjoy the good food, I'm going to reward myself.
Yeah.
So that is dissociate yourself, dissociation method.
Okay.
Then another, a few more methods I can share. I will just briefly share. The first method will be visualization.
Okay.
So I watch the videos of the competition. Someone just put on a GoPro and run up the competition, let's say last year or the year before, the edition before. So I went and looked it up, the videos on YouTube.
Right.
So then I watched that video more than 100 times during my bedtime, like, before I'm about to sleep, I like to watch those videos. That will be my bedtime, sorry. So then I knew I've climbed Empire State Building, run up the stairs in my mind for 100,000 times before I really run up the building.
Okay.
Most of the time, we do not have the access to climb the building.
Right.
But we can watch the videos.
Right.
So I understand every steps, every corner, how many turns and all that stuff. I know how many parts of the stairs, so I know how to prime my mind when I come to the race.
Right.
This is my home ground, I call it, because I've climbed this 1,000 times more than any participants, and I will do well because this is my home. That's what I said.
I understand. Like, just now the word that he used is priming.
Yeah.
Any sports lah.
Yeah.
Any sports. So maybe some of you guys akan kata macam, kenapa obsessed sangat this guy cakap macam tu kan?
Yeah.
Just to let you all know, he is a competitive athlete.
Yep.
Not a regular person. Regular person, kalau hari ni ada marathon, dah fikir lepas marathon nak makan apa. Kan?
Nak reward.
That's what you mentioned, disassociating. Because competitive athlete memang fikir satu benda je. Winning is one thing.
Yep.
But at the same time, there's I have to visualize, how does this place look like? Yep. Where you're going to end? How many steps I have to do? Like,
how
obsessed
to, how to improve every 0.1%. That is what the competitive or the elite athlete they chase about. To me, it's not about winning. Winning is a bonus.
Right.
So if you are the fastest of the day, you are the winner. Of course, that can be someone else better than you on the day. The point is not to compete with the rest.
Right.
It's to compete with yourself to improve.
Right.
Every 1 second count. That 1 second you improve means that you are still progressing. You are still doing well. And then you can continue to do it again and again the following year. Okay. Eventually, one day you'll be the winner.
Right.
If you are keep on improving.
Yeah.
Not many people can have a consistent performance improving all the time.
Right.
So that is the one thing I'm chasing after.
Okay. Since you mentioned the consistent, right?
Yeah.
What is the time frame that you give to yourself as a runner?
As a tower runner, I would say right now I'm 2 years, 3 months, world number one. I achieved the world number one rank back in 2022, Emperor. Every month they update the world ranking.
Nice.
So my aim is to achieve a 10 years world number one.
Okay.
So I'm just completed a quarter of my journey.
Right, right.
I still have like 7.5 years to go.
Okay.
For this sport.
Right.
So I see myself at least I'll be in tower running sport for up to 39 years old.
Right.
So right now I'm 30 years old, so up to 38 years old.
Oh, did can I say at this age, cannot juga. I cannot say that it's at your peak, because usually peaking age is usually 20-ish, right?
Not really. I would say for every sport, it's different.
Right.
For tower running, I would say I can be still peak at age of 40.
Right.
I can still improve.
Right.
For tower running, it's about how your life experience.
Okay.
The more experience you have in your life, you know how to pace yourself well.
Right.
You know how to be in control of your mood, of your competition strategy.
Okay.
How you, pace yourself from ground floor all the way to, let's say, 100th floor.
Mm-hmm.
So many younger people, younger athletes, they love to start up fast.
Right.
Then they lose out towards maybe halfway they lose out. Yeah, they couldn't pick up or they couldn't maintain the pace anymore. So that is one thing. So, I mean, same goes to marathon running. You have to learn how to pace yourself for the entire 42K. It's not just like you sprint the 1K and then you walk the entire 41K. That's not making any sense.
Very true.
So I would say life experience taught me a lot for tower run. I'm still learning. I'm still improving, even though I'm now number one on world champion. So yeah, things to learn.
Respect that. Okay.
Thank you.
Now, my next question relating to that. Okay, you really set your time frame within 10 years.
Like, yes.
And where do you see yourself, not yourself, where do you see the sports in Malaysia, these sports?
Like, is it a time frame or in the future?
As in, like, do you think people will see this sport something like a...
Growing
sport.
Yeah, I would say the potential of tower running is huge.
Okay.
In Malaysia, we do have many skyscrapers, a lot. I would say in the Southeast Asia, we are considered number one.
Wow.
With many buildings more than higher than 150 meters.
Okay.
We do have a lot, especially in Kuala Lumpur and Penang start to come up. So then all this, when there's a high-rise building being built up, the easiest way to promote the building is to have a tower run there. So then let's say 300 people, 500 people join that event. After the climb, take picture at the top, they take picture with the building. So it's the easiest, simplest way to promote that building. So that's what happened in China. China, they do have the most number of tallest building. I mean, yeah, out of the top 10 world tallest building, 5 from China. So they dominate half of the top 10. And in China, on every year basis, they do have up to 150 tower running competition. So They kept doing tower running competition. And we all know the technology or the infrastructure in China is actually 5-10 years ahead of us. When they have this Alipay or the WeChat Pay, that was like maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We have it only like maybe the past few years after the pandemic when we started it. So it's like we are following the footstep right behind this modern country, I would say. So when China now, they have up to 150 tower running competition, perhaps in Malaysia we could have up to easily 30-40 competitions.
Right.
So that is the way that we like to mimic the other country. I mean, every country try their best to promote their culture, their buildings and all that stuff. So Malaysia will follow the first step. So I see the gain is a lot higher, and we are hosting the SEA Games in 2027.
This Malaysia event is in
not really yet.
Okay.
But when you are the host, you have the right to put in the spot you think you can have. You can win the gold medals and all that stuff. But of course, you need at least 4 or 5 countries from that. For example, SEA Games, you need 4 to 5 countries from the 11 countries to send representatives to join this event. Then only it's can be a SEA Games spot.
Okay.
Also in Sukma 2026, I mean, we are very close with Selangor State. So we had a few tower running competition in Selangor State already this year. And we are exploring the collaboration, communication to promote Selangor State, to visit Selangor in 2026. And Selangor will be the Sukma host in 2026. So then there might be a chance that tower running can be introduced in 2026.
Okay.
So we would have a bright opportunity to get this spot into Sukma, SEA Games, or even Asian Games in the future and eventually Olympics.
Okay.
And for your information, Paris 2024 is happening soon.
Yeah.
breakdancing is an Olympic sport. Yeah, you never know, right? And then skateboarding back in 2020 Tokyo Olympic. Okay. Skateboarding also an Olympic sport.
Right.
So why not tower running?
True.
It depends on who's the host.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Because they can add in, can.
Yeah, they can add in, they can introduce it.
When Tokyo Olympics, yeah. Back then I was doing a strongman.
Yeah.
They had strongman as one of the discipline also.
Wow.
But they're choosing strongman or skateboarding.
Yeah.
But they put skateboard.
Yeah.
So I understand what you meant by that.
Yeah. So there's like squash got into the Olympic 2028 in the LA.
Right.
So we have a high chance because our squash player are doing very well.
Now, since you describe that there are potential for the tower running in the sports can.
Yeah.
What kind of athlete that suitable? Okay. Would you just consider long distance running or anybody can become?
Okay. Okay. 2 points I want to share.
Mm.
Anyone can be a tower runner. Straightforward. Tower running sport is the easiest entry sport.
Wow.
Okay. One thing, you do not need any gear.
Okay.
When I climb the stairs, I don't even wear a shoe.
Okay.
I wear a shoe socks just to climb.
Right.
My protege, Mohammad Hazim, 23 years old, studied UITM, Shah Alam, computer science. He don't even wear a shoe when he climbs the stairs. He's now world number 12.
Right.
Okay? So you do not need any equipment.
Okay.
You do not need any racket. You do not need the court. You do not need any specific equipment just to play a sport.
Right.
It's cheapest. Okay? You only need stairs.
Right.
That is a simple thing. I mean, stairs are everywhere around us. You can have outdoor stairs at Batu Cave. You can have indoor stairs like the condominium apartment stairs. So you can climb stairs at your own time.
Mm.
And you don't need to pay anything, right? Just to climb the stairs, you don't need to pay. And it's free.
Right.
And it's weatherproof. Mm. Raining, thunderstorm. Ayah, tak boleh lari. Tak apa, tangga ada. So it's there.
Right.
The only challenge is it's kind of boring. Right. You see the same thing all the time. But if you look at the bright side, you can listen to podcasts, you can watch YouTube, you can actually scroll Facebook when you climb the stairs.
Mm.
I mean, for us, we play Sudoku, we play board games on one hand while climbing the stairs because we've been used to the stairs.
Okay.
So we can just walk up as if in automated mode. Right. So many things you can do to scrap off that boring kind of experience.
Right.
That you're going to have it. Okay, so you do other things while you climb up the stairs. And it is safe because the stairs condition, you know, right. It is safe. It's not like, I mean, the surface itself, it's stable all the time. It is almost the same.
Mm.
So basically, you have nothing to worry about.
Right.
Okay, so that's 1 point for easy access and it's free, weatherproof and cheap and all that stuff. Second point, for the tower running sport, I would say, by people who love to cycle, people who play football, people who play people who run as well, like middle distance,
right.
1,500 meter, 1 mile, or up to 3,000 meter, up to 5,000 meter, 5 kilometer. Those who run that short duration, like up to 10-15 minutes, these are the athletes who could be very good in tower run. Okay. But for cyclists, they will be very good because the cyclists, they use the similar muscle group as of a tower runner.
Okay.
So I remember one point back in 2018, I lost to a someone from the public.
Mm.
I mean the elite group. I lost to someone who are in the open group.
Right.
That fella, after we found out, he is one of the long distance cyclists from China.
Okay.
So he beat many of the elites.
Wow.
Yeah. So that fella, very strong. He cycled like 100-200 km. Every day.
Wow.
So he is a professional cyclist, but because he didn't have any credential coming into the tower run, so he joined the open category instead of the elite category. But he beat most of us. So I would say cyclists would be very near to us.
Wow.
Even I spoke to Dato Azizu Hazni.
Okay.
Like 2 months ago when we met during an award, I told him, what's your plan? Mm. I asked him, after your Paris Olympic, what's the plan? He said he's going to retire from competitive cycling event, but he will still join some sort of cycling events, perhaps not country representative, like he wanted to have a life as well. So I spoke to him, hey, why not come and try Tower Run?
Mm.
Because as a cyclist, when you come to Tower Run, you do have the potential to be the best. You could be, you could have a chance to beat me as well. You have the potential because you are so good.
Mm.
Your quads, your strengths are all there.
Right.
So it's whether he want it or not, we'll see. But he would want them to give it a try. That is a good thing. So I would invite him to come and join me after Paris.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm going to test out his speed, how fast he can actually sprint up the stairs.
Okay. I'm going to touch a few things. Eh?
Yeah.
Since you mentioned about the potential athlete would be sprinter,
cyclist.
Yeah. I saw one of your photos or video that you train your heart rate up to like, what is it? 95%?
Yeah, 9,500% and all that. Yeah.
Okay. We do know long distance runner that doesn't train up to that level.
Yeah.
Unless they're sprinting.
Yeah, unless they are doing interval and all that.
Okay. And earlier you mentioned that within a week that you climb a lot.
Yeah.
Similar like
Mount Everest.
Mount Everest, yeah. Does your heart rate sustain like that when you train, not participate competitor? Yeah. Does your heart rate sustain like that?
Not really. I would say back in my training programs, most of the time, I would say 70-75% low intensity. Okay. Very low because I can still play board game, play Sudoku when I climb the stairs. So that's the effort
like
that you can imagine. When someone climbs stairs and plays Sudoku, you know it is not hard.
Right.
It's not like I'm sprinting up at the same time playing Sudoku. That cannot be done.
Right.
So 70-75%, very low, about 130-140 or up to 150 beats per minute.
Right.
I'm 30 years old this year.
Mm-hmm.
So my max prediction would be 190 beats per minute.
Mm-hmm.
So 140-150 for me, it's easy.
Right.
I can still talk when I climb the stairs at that kind of pace.
Understand.
So it's not all the time.
Okay.
But maybe 10-15% of it, yes.
Okay, so when you participate in a competition, what is your maximum heart rate?
Okay, it takes me about a minute to accelerate, to actually gradually build my heart rate to 175 or 180.
Mm.
Then I will sustain that for the entire journey until the finishing line. So it depends on how tall the building is or how long the duration that I would spend for that climb.
Right.
So let's say a 10 minutes competition. The first minute will be a gradual build up of my heart rate.
Right.
The following 9 minutes will be very high.
Right.
And all the way to the end.
Okay. Have you ever experienced? Because you say 10 minutes, can? Because I saw a few of your photos. It's 1:45.
Yeah.
Which is the tower that you participate? 10 minutes.
10 minutes, like for example, Empire State Building.
Okay.
Or Taipei 101.
Okay.
For me, it's about 11 minutes. Taipei 101. And the tallest for us would be Shanghai. Shanghai Tower, that's 18 minutes.
Wow.
So 17 minutes of it, high heart rate.
Okay, so I want to use that example. Yeah.
Yep.
So 10 minutes you can sustain at 160...
No, 180. 175-180 beats per minute, I can sustain for the entire journey. All the way to the top.
Yeah. Did you experience any hypo, any cramp?
I would say it's here.
Oh.
It's how you tackle yourself where your brain tell your body to slow down.
Okay.
This is too intense.
Right.
You are on a high heart rate. Right. Your legs are jelly because of the lactate buildup.
Right.
So you should slow down. Then we have to counter that thought.
Oh, wow.
We have to override the safety mode.
Right.
We have to tell ourselves that we can still do this.
Right.
Until the finishing line. Okay. And then we got a break there.
I understand.
So we should keep going no matter what.
Okay.
Yeah, that was better.
And I'm not post here. For him, he can say that.
Yeah.
Why I say that? Because he mentioned earlier, his training is very consistent and his body is adapted to all this lactic acid.
Yeah.
So his brain can say that.
Yeah.
For a general person, yang tak train, tiba-tiba participate, probably you pengsan ke, you pening or something.
Yeah, you might black out.
You might black out. So even though you have a very positive mindset.
Yeah.
Why I ask? Because I'm trying to understand how do you actually sustain that?
Yeah.
And your training does, now it makes sense why you have to train macam panjat Everest.
Yeah.
So your body is so adapted to the threshold of the lactic acid.
The movement of the spot.
Yeah. Then on that day itself, it's only that duration versus
that Everest.
Yeah.
So you know it's not that high.
Yes.
It's like, just like that, for the climb. Mm-hmm. But of course, the question now is, how fast the speed that I can maintain for a long period of time.
Right, right.
Most of the time, to be honest, just want to share with you guys, in a competition setting like 10 minutes, most of the time, the legs are the one KO first before the heart.
Right.
So the leg is now the factor that I need to improve.
Right.
So that I could maintain a higher pace for a long period of time. So that is the next plan for me to do. To build up the leg strength.
Please share a bit your current lifestyle.
Yep.
Not the training part.
Yep.
Like what do you do in the morning? Makan semua.
So every day when I wake up, I'm actually, okay, go brush my teeth, get ready, then go training. Just an easy stairs, for example, 10 times 27th floor at my regular apartments. Okay. So climb up, the lift down, repeat 10 times. It's like every time it's about 3 minutes 40 seconds for the 27th floor. It's a low ceiling building. So it's 27 tingkat tu sebenarnya macam 22 tingkat sebab dia pendek, dia punya ceiling height.
And so, when you say you buat benda tu, what's the heart rate?
130, 140.
Relax.
It's like easy. Yeah. And then finish that training that will take me about 1 hour.
Okay.
Because of the lift coming down and all that stuff, sometimes you stop in between. After that, makan breakfast. Then do some planning of upcoming competition.
Right.
Put in the log, my training. What is my, analyze my training summary. So apa yang tadi training tu, I kena key in into my Excel sheet.
Right.
So I know how many floor I climb, what's the intensity, what's my feedback, how I feel during the session. Is everything good? Everything normal? Any apa-apa benda terjadi ke? So I kena key in.
Right.
So after that, plan for my upcoming competition. So I will see when will be my next competition. And I will see what's ahead, what's coming. So I need to plan. Bila ada pertandingan yang sangat penting, I kena prepare.
Okay.
So then I need to pick at what time, I need to plan my training and all that stuff. Other than that, I've also prepared some proposal for sponsorship.
Yeah.
So right now, there are a few sponsors, I would say many sponsors approach me, but I have to come up with a proposal to share it with them. After meeting with them, I have to know what they want and what I wanted to achieve from them. So I will do a proposal and share it with them. So these are my downtime. I have to do a lot of proposal. And other than doing proposal, I'm also helping the association, Persatuan Lari Menara Malaysia ataupun Malaysia Tower Running Association. I'm the founder of this association. So I have the responsibility to convince the building owner in Malaysia, the building management, for us to do tower run in Malaysia. So sometimes I have a meeting, like for example with KL Tower, with maybe Petronas Twin Tower, even Merdeka 118. So meeting the management people to get the green light. So that the association will look for an organizer to come in and organize the event. Something like that. So that's also part of my job. Other than that, also to go and meet sponsor, potential sponsor, whoever who think that I might fit into their business as an ambassador to promote them. Why not? So I will try to take in as many opportunities as possible, joining podcasts, doing sharing, giving talk to school, to secondary school, or even to universities, or even corporate as well. Corporate hire me because I'm also a motivational speaker. So I speak, I share my journey. How do I achieve world number one in 3 years' time? With all the planning, how you plan, how you strategize, how you get the points and all that stuff to achieve number one. And now the question is to maintain number one. After maintain number one, how are you going to win the world champion? So it's different. World champion and world number one is different. So things like that I do. And also prepared my upcoming presentation. I'm also into giving talk at a TEDx platform. So after this will be TEDx Petaling Street in October 12th. So I'm preparing my script, doing some rehearsal because it's a different language, like Mandarin. So I'm actually excel in three languages, Bahasa, Malaysia, English, and also Mandarin. So I need to brush up my Mandarin. My Mandarin not as good compared to the rest. So, and also some sort of interview with the media, some shooting as well for my sponsor with Zeus Coffee, and then with RTM after this, because I will be included in the RTM program. for this upcoming Merdeka in conjunction with our Hari Kebangsaan on the 31st of August. I've been chosen to be the athlete that they want to do a documentary.
Oh, nice.
So they wanted to find someone like me who constantly make Malaysia proud at the world stage, who promote Malaysia, who have the patriotism. So that is in conjunction with the team of the Hari Kebangsaan. Yeah. So I got selected to be that athlete. Correct. So after this, they are coming to my house to interview my parents.
Nice.
So things like that.
Many things that he's doing currently.
Yeah, many projects, many plans are on my mind. Also about the planning for my trips to travel to Europe, to New York for competition. I have to survey the flight ticket. So I have to fully utilize the sponsorships money that I achieve, that I got it from my sponsors, put into all this training preparation, planning for competitions. Have to, optimize it. Bukan pakai semua, tapi tahu macam mana cara nak pakai untuk to do more competition.
Right.
Yeah, not flying first class, staying 5-star hotel.
Right.
I'm actually afford to do that, but it's not the option because if I flew a first class, it will wasted like for many, many trips.
Brutal.
For me, it's just enough for me to reach the place. Good enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I understand it sounds 90% you are full-time on your sports.
Yeah.
Okay. And at the same time also, you mentioned earlier that eventually Malaysia also will have these sports.
Yes.
And we want to have more professional runners similar like you.
Yeah.
Do you think that Malaysia should already start to invest in athlete?
Towering.
Yes.
I would say yes, it can be. It should be because the sport is growing.
Yeah.
Whichever country who started this earlier will have an advantage.
Right.
The athlete will have a head start.
Mm.
So who knows, one day the sport in the Olympic, then you got the potential gold medalist.
True.
You started it earlier than the rest. And the cost is not high.
Yeah.
Compared to any sports, if you go and read some other sport, you need expensive equipments. The equipment can be so expensive up to a value of a house.
Right.
Yeah?
Very true.
Yeah, very true. Right. You can see the example. So for tower running, the cost is not high.
Mm.
The cost only required for competition, at most flight ticket and accommodation. That's it.
Mm.
So I would say it's not as expensive compared to any other sport. To hire a coach for tower running, I mean, right now I do have a coach.
Mm.
I started to have a coach from July onwards this month because I realized I need someone to look after my training programs. I've been doing this by myself for the past 7 years since 2017 when I started. Sometimes I miss out something. So I need a third person, which is my coach, Albert. He's my senior it's UM Sports Science. So I believe his capability, his sports science knowledge is much stronger than me. So he knew what I'm lack of.
Right.
So to do more other exercises to strengthen up my legs to accommodate the high speed in tower run.
Sure.
Yep.
He's world number one, but he still have coach.
Yeah.
I just want to tell that to people.
Yeah.
Because general public think, never mind, I know what I'm doing lah. Yeah. Let me do myself lah.
Yeah.
I bet you experienced that in the beginning.
Yes.
Then you start to notice, okay, I have some weak point I need to improve.
Yes.
So this is one of the things that I want people to understand. When we don't have sufficient experience or knowledge, it's always best to find someone that is knowledgeable than us to help us.
Correct.
And I totally agree on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. What's your best advice to those who want to explore these sports?
Okay. Best advice will be, I'm still looking or scouting the potential person to do this. The number one thing that the person must have passion, must love to challenge themselves, must be very competitive in nature, by nature, not by force. Throughout the journey of these 7 years, I try to discover, try to look for athletes who can do well like me. I wanted to include them into the program. It's like I'm forcing them to train.
Understand.
I'm forcing them to join my program, to travel with me, even though I sponsor them to do competition. But then they felt like they are being forced.
Okay.
They are not really enjoy.
Mm.
So then I would say the number one thing, number one key things, the person must be competitive. The person must like to challenge himself or herself to be at the highest level.
Right.
Like to always find the marginal gain, what we call marginal gain, the 0.01% gain. So he himself must be disciplined and must love the sport. And another important factor is not to do it for the sake of money.
Right.
Many people ask me the first question, how much can you make as a tower runner? People ask me this. I was like, I don't really care how much I make.
Right.
My point is, if you achieve what you want, you achieve number one for your country, and you can secure sponsorship. I mean, sometimes it's not number one, then only you can get sponsored. You can be number 10 and you can still get sponsored.
Mm.
It's how you put yourself into the sponsor's perspective, how you achieve what the sponsors want. Okay. Then you work out a win-win proposal.
Right.
They're both happy to support each other. So I would say the result is not number one key factor, but the spirit of wanting to improve yourself. That is what the value of the current community wants. They wanted to improve by them, improve their performance, but they do not know how.
Right.
So you are the person to inspire them to chase the marginal gain, to always improve, not just improve from the external factor like making money. The prize money would never enough as a tower runner, because the highest prize money so far is only €3,000 at this Taipei 101 World Championship.
Right.
Plus, you have to minus 20% tax. So that is €2,400. That's about 12,000 ringgit Malaysia.
Right.
It's not enough, basically. So for you to live your life depending on prize money.
Mm.
Unless you are doing golf, you are doing tennis. Mm. If you are doing very well, football, you're doing very well, then yeah, you can have enough. Your paycheck, your price, definitely good enough to cover your entire life. You can retire the next year if you want it.
Right.
You can do just 1 year. So, but for tower running, athlete, I understand the number one thing you need is sponsorship.
Mm.
It's all sponsorship that matter, because sponsorship money will be higher than prize money.
Right.
For any other sport, it's the same.
Yeah.
The sponsor will not pay less than the prize money. It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
You won't get like 1,000 ringgit as a sponsor to do this. Cannot be. So the person must be competitive. The person must love the sport.
Mm.
The person must do it for the sake of challenging his limitation, his potential, to explore himself to the fullest. Not just, ikut je lah, coach bagi apa, train je, and then pertandingan pun, pertanding je. Tak ada pergi fikir pasal, macam mana nak improve lagi performance. So, kena pergi, be more creative, find your way out, fight your way out.
Right.
When I started this, nobody taught me anything. I have to ask people, I have to interview the world number one at that time. How do you train? Wow. So he shared with me. Then he knew that I'm not a threat to him.
Right.
But 3 years later, I'm now a threat to him. Right. So I beat him. But of course, for me, if you ask me anything about Tower Run, I will share. No problem. Because I would encourage more and more people to not just be like me, but to beat me.
Right.
Because right now, I want someone who can challenge us. I have to be the bad guy.
Right.
Come and challenge me.
Right.
It's not about I'm afraid of losing,
right.
But I'm afraid that you not try.
Right.
Most of the time for tower running sport, after you try, you will addicted to it. If you don't even try, you will always think this is impossible.
Right.
I've asked in people 50 floor, nak cuba tak? Tak mungkin lah 50 tingkat tu ambil saya 5 hari baru boleh habis. Tapi kalau you cuba, you jalan step by step. 50 tingkat, 1 tingkat, 20 step. Baru 1,000 step. You go step by step. Let's say one step takes you 1 minute. 1,000 minute you can climb.
Right.
You can finish. Not even 5 days. So that is like few hours you can finish. But it won't take that long, lah, of course. Maybe 5 seconds, one step. So you multiply, you do the math. You know how long you're going to take. Normal people, they can climb the stairs step by step. For 50 floor, they could have done it within 20 minutes. Just walk one step at one time, listen to song, singing inside yourself internally, enjoy the moment, eventually, dah sampai 50 tingkat, habis. Boleh sebenarnya, semua boleh. Cuma, kita punya thinking je.
Right.
When you grew older or elder, you actually, the limitations, your thinking box is getting smaller. So then you will not think out of the box. You always tell yourself, oh, this is impossible, this is too much, this is hard. I takut, I tak berani. Tapi kalau you panggil satu budak-budak umur lima, pergi panjat lima puluh tingkat, he will do it.
Right.
He will say, why not? Let's do this. He never think of how tough it is.
Right.
And he will finish. So that is a thing. We need to be more creative, think out of the box. We need to dare to drive. Try. Tak try, you tak tahu.
Tak tahu. Betul.
So ramai tak berani nak cuba. So that is our number one barrier to get people to try the sport. We need to hold your hand and we climb the stairs together. Baru you, oh, boleh lah. Sebenarnya tak payah, you pun, I pun boleh panjat habis. Macam ni lah.
Having said that,
yeah.
Kepada semua dekat luar sana tengah tonton, tengah dengar, give it a go. Maybe I participate one of these days.
Yep, Berjaya Times Square Tower Run, 47 floors coming up next, 4th August.
Right.
Yeah, I think maybe the tutup kot registration, but KL Tower is coming.
Right.
Probably in October.
Okay.
So once it's open, yeah, give it a try. It's about 1,576 steps.
Right.
Lebih kurang 78 tingkat. Tapi boleh habis. Wai Ching pergi check result dulu. Paling slow pun 1 jam.
Okay lah.
1 jam, you can complete. There's a pit stop halfway. You can drink water.
Right.
You can continue. Take your own sweet time. Yeah, just to challenge yourself. Give it a try. Then baru you justify. Susah ke atau you suka ke, baru you bagi feedback.
Yep.
Jangan tak try tu, bagi tahu tak mungkin. Tu yang tak.
Nak tambah sikit eh. Memang digalakkan semua orang participate. But kalau you tak pernah bersenam langsung,
jalan je.
Jalan je. Kan? Take it easy lah.
Yeah. Don't run.
Don't run.
Number one tips for beginner or amateur or newcomer, jangan lari. Sebab tower run ni sebenarnya bukan tower run lah. Sepatutnya panggil stair climbing. Walk up the stairs. Running, if it's less than 50 floor, for us, we can run the whole thing.
Right.
But for normal people, for the first timer, just walk up the stairs to challenge yourself to complete it first. Then only you think about the speed.
Okay. Again, thank you very much
for
sharing your personal journey, giving some tips.
Yep.
And also, I'm looking forward to see more competitive
tower runners
in Malaysia. And he may be leading all these athletes.
Yeah, come and challenge us. Well, welcome. Please train at your own apartments, condo, 40 floor. The benchmark may be 3 minutes, 40 seconds. If you can run 40 floor within 4 minutes, come and look for me. I'll bring you to do improved training.
Nice.
To improve your performance.
Okay. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hopefully to see you again in the future.
Yep. I appreciate it.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Peace out.